your hair back from your eyes. I take you down, let the river flow. Sometimes I'm gonna walk the street behind a green sheet of glass. A million miles below their feet. A million miles, a million miles. I'll be with you, girl, like being low. Hey, 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 like being
low. A lot of things happened today. This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are doing things that have never been done in this country before. We've never had anything like it, certainly not at this level, but we've really had nothing like it that I've been able to find. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics.
I don't know if he knows he's alive. I mean, you know. So President Trump yesterday, on the heels of two very significant news developments. One is the setting of the trial date for the hush money claims that, you know, the abuse of campaign finance, which he has always denied, both the affair and also the misappropriation of the funds or misuse of the funds. And that was set for April 15th for tax day. And then number two, a reduction in the bond amount, not the judgment amount, by the way, but for the bond amount that he would have to put up in order to, you know, avoid having his assets seized to start paying for the cost of a judgment if he winds up losing on appeal. Remember, this is the $464 million, and it got written down by almost two-thirds, about 60% to $175 million, which he says he can afford to pay and will pay. But yeah, yesterday in what was a very typical Trump event, somewhat it was relevant to the topic at hand, and somewhat it was meandering weird Uncle Donald stuff, just kind of a mixture of that, which is pretty normal for him, and always railing against anybody who criticizes him.
They do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up, and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoren. He ought to be looked at, seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's the one, he's a fraudulent valuator, where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million, and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business.
50 to 100 times that much. So, you know, not everybody's great at the math, but 100 times 18 million is actually not all that hard to perform. That's $1.8 billion. So somewhere between $900 million and $1.8 billion is what he says Mar-a-Lago is worth. Now, it's true. It's true that most people do not think that it's worth a mere $18 million. And there's a wide range of opinions because it's a one-of-a-kind facility about what it would sell for on the market. And if billionaires got into a bidding war with each other in order to acquire it, could that drive the price higher? But it is interesting if you just kind of look at this piece of property. I don't think there's anybody that says it's worth almost $2 billion other than Donald Trump, who, you know, weird Uncle Donald says a lot of weird things. That's my new way of thinking about him is he's President Trump, former President Trump, when he's talking about things that sort of make sense, and he's weird Uncle Donald when he's saying weird stuff. And there's always a blend, and it's kind of both guys at the same time, right? But in this particular case, what's interesting is that the valuation of that property for tax purposes, right? Like, how much does he actually pay on it and taxes is based on the amount of money that it generates, which is maybe not necessarily the best indicator of the value of property, but there are a dozen or so or 10 or something like that properties in South Florida that are valued this way because they don't have any other way to. There's not like comps. It's not like you can look at the four most recent sales on Mar-a-Lago-esque properties. It doesn't really exist. So the thing is valued at, you know, for tax appraiser purposes, somewhere between 18 and 37 million. I forget the exact amount, but it's right in that vicinity. And so that's what he actually pays property taxes on. And sorry, 37 is the current value. Yeah, and he's claiming it's worth $2 billion. Okay, so on the one hand, the claim is that he inflated the value of Mar-a-Lago as a way of generating, you know, revenues, loans, money that he could then use in other ways. And on the other hand, and he says, no, that's false. I never inflated the value of Mar-a-Lago. Meanwhile, at a press conference, he's clearly inflating the value of Mar-a-Lago verbally. But on the other hand, when it comes to tax purposes, the property is massively undervalued, even according to him, on which he pays taxes every year. So, you know, bit of a pickle for those who believe in logic, but okay. You know, the president continues to rail on the justice or injustice of this banana republic we call the United States of America. What's going on right now?
They're being run, and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them, and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do that. They raided my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. But it's illegal what they're doing. It's criminal what they're doing. And it's never been done before in this country.
Well, houses do get raided. I mean, it's not that common to have it for a former president. But then again, the circumstances surrounding the documents and President Trump's unwillingness to cooperate with investigators is also unprecedented. You may have heard that we had a raid of a famous celebrity yesterday, a two-coast raid of his two big properties in pursuit of human trafficking evidence that they were worried was going to get destroyed if they didn't go quickly and act on Sean Diddy Combs' properties. So it's not unprecedented to have raids. Also, it's not a violation of the Fourth Amendment when you had a warrant signed by Judge Bruce Reinhard. And, but President Trump or Weird Uncle Donald, whoever's speaking at the moment, isn't all that great at the nuance, you know, isn't all that great at getting the facts straight. But he did say something yesterday that I do agree with. I mean, a lot of what he says is just bluster and, you know, crazy allegations. And by the way, his legal team actually got scolded by one of the judges yesterday in the various trials for claiming that the process was biased against him and corrupt. And the judge said, what's your evidence? They didn't have any. He's like, what are you doing? Well, I mean, you know, that's the way Trump is. Everything that's against him is corrupt and unjust and biased and hateful and mean and political. Now, I will say this. I tend to agree with him on this point.
So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago if they were going to start it at all. And then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end, days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running. And they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden. If I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening.
So that slice of this story, I think, is a fair criticism. There's an awful lot of people who aren't necessarily Trumpers. I'm not a Trumper. Who still look at this and say, all of this in an election cycle after he's declared, when it's apparent that he's a front runner, and obviously now the front runner for the Republican nomination, that's a little weird. You know, I mean, they tried impeachment and they tried impeachment and they tried another impeachment, you know, and then they did the long investigation and then they waited to see what's going to happen. And then we have this case, the, you know, insurrection disqualification from the ballot case. You have the, depending on what you mean by this case, was it the inflation of the value of the property or was it the hush money or was it the election interference and all of this stuff at a time when he's running to be president? It does start to look a little bit like a pattern. But what you might also say is, would they have been doing this if he weren't running for president? And maybe your answer there is, well, he has such hatred from people that even if he weren't running for president, they'd probably try to get him anyway. Maybe. The question is, if it weren't for hatred and if it weren't for the politics, would all of this be happening? Just on the basis of the allegations, would this all be happening? And would it be happening to a former president? We say you shouldn't be doing something like this to a former president. Of course, you've got the rule of law, which applies to everybody. And the critics will say you have to do it against a former president precisely because he's this kind of person. This is the problem that he has created for himself by being the sort of president, candidate, and even private individual that he has been throughout his entire life. So it's all a bit complicated to figure out what you think is the most likely. But again, even non-Trumpers like me look at this and think, it smells a little bit funny that so much of this is happening right ahead of the possible right election or re-election, depending on how you want to think about it. But of course, he did go into, you know, campaign mode, Biden mode. What does this have to do with the cases? Nothing, but he's talking and there's a microphone, so he's going to do his thing.
It's a disgrace what's happening in our country, and we have to get our country back, and we're going to get our country back. That's what's going to happen. November 5th, I believe, will be the most important day in the history of our country. We'll get these people out of there, and we'll seal up the borders, and we'll, as I say, drill, baby, drill. We'll be drilling. We'll get energy costs down. We'll get rid of the ridiculous electric car mandate, so nobody's ever heard of anything so foolish and so stupid. And we'll bring crime back to law and order. We're going to get those words, law and order, back, because our cities are a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with any of that. Of course, it's also hard to argue that has anything to do with the cases at hand. But again, you know, the mic is open. He's talking. And then the one semi-interesting note in all of this is if he's only got to put up the $175 million as a bond instead of the $454 or $64, which would deplete him cash-wise, that allows him to have another, what, $270-ish million on hand, imagining that he had $500 million to begin with. That he might be able to use for campaign money, which one of the NBC, reporters, I guess, asked him at the time.
You mentioned the cash you have. You said on Friday it's something like $500 million. You intended to put some of that into the campaign. Now that the bond's been reduced, are you going to start putting money into your campaign?
Yeah.
You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly. But I might do that. I have the option. But if I have to spend $500 million on a bond, I wouldn't have that option. I'd have to start selling things. I don't have to sell anything.
Which is true. I mean, which is true. Which is why the write down of the bond amount for the judgment as the case continues in litigation is significant, because it certainly frees up his own personal money without having to necessarily sell anything to be able to put money into his campaign if he decides to do it, which is none of our business, whether he's planning to do that or not. Meanwhile, Truth Social is going to be traded starting today on the NASDAQ, I believe. And the valuation of that is a couple billion dollars at least. Now, he can't just go sell his shares. I guess the deal that allows it's going to be, this is kind of actually cool. DJT is going to be the initials on the NASDAQ, Donald J. Trump, for the company, for the brand. I think that's not appropriate. Whenever you can get the letters representing your company to be so on brand, that's pretty good. But he can't really just sell his shares unless they unfreeze them as part of the deal that makes the merger possible. And which, in a way, makes sense because, again, I'm a little outside my area of knowledge here, but as I understand it from the story, the basic gist of this is you wouldn't want to allow him to sell all of his shares, because if President Trump divested from Truth Social, Truth Social would lose an awful lot of its prestige, market position, value as a commodity. His brand being so identified with it is one of the keys, right? So it kind of makes sense that in the merger deal and the beginning of the public trading of it, they wouldn't want him to be selling his shares. But yeah, on the one hand, cash poor, you know, by your and my standards, extraordinarily cash rich, but by, you know, super billionaire being able to pay a massive fine standards, cash poor, but yet about to have his net worth jump by a couple of billion dollars at the opening bell, basically. 520 on News Radio 92.3. A couple of texts came in. Somebody here says, hey, Andrew, I hear CNN is hiring. Maybe you should apply. Aw, you're so sweet. I don't want to do TV. Somebody here says, Mar-a-Lago, what one of us would be happy about having our home or real estate sell for the taxable valuation. No, that's true. No, that's right. Everybody's home, especially your homestead, is going to be lower due to homestead rules. And most people try to work down their property tax, the tax appraisal value, in order to pay less property taxes. But also, most people aren't necessarily involved in massive inflation of their property value at the same time against what? Something like a, I don't know, a HELOC or something like that, or, you know, a second or something, which is exactly what he's in the middle of having to deal with, right? And his own claims that the value of it is massively, massively more. Meanwhile, the taxable value is massively, massively less. That's all I'm saying. He's kind of playing both sides of this, which it's fair. It's fair that to some degree, most property owners do that a little bit. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Set up a consultation and take the first step.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
It's the biggest party of the year, coming April 6th.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret. Express yourself. Come paint the town red. Pensacola Little Theater transforms the entire building and the surrounding block into an indoor and outdoor entertainment complex for one unforgettable night. You'll find yourself winding through the bands, DJs, flash mobs, ballerinas, singers, dancers, and so much more, including 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year, Cabaret.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
New this morning, Florida has new restrictions for social media. Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill that bans children younger than 14 from joining any social media sites. And users that are 14 or 15 will need parental consent. Companies could be fined up to $50,000 for each violation, and they can be sued on the child's behalf for up to $10,000. The law is expected to be challenged over claims that it violates free speech rights. With this bill, Florida also joins 8 states in requiring age verification for pornographic websites, which could lead to some sites being blocked in the state.
So close. So close. NBC almost had it exactly right. The only part that they did not get right is the restrictions go into effect when? January 1st of 2025. So, yes, he signed it yesterday. Governor DeSantis signed it yesterday. The merged bill, HB 1, was the social media ban for minors. It got adjusted, as she appropriately described there. And then so that, you know, 14, 15-year-olds can be on there with their parents' consent, 16, 17 with special rules. And then 18 and above on the HB 3 part was the porn age ID verification. So if you want to go to pornographic sites online, you're going to have to go through age verification. This is all going to get challenged in court. And it doesn't go into effect until January anyway. So this is all a we'll see what actually happens in the real world when we know. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
State and city leaders heading to the scene of a major disaster at the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, the bridge that carries traffic over the Patapsco River, I believe it's pronounced, collapsed due to a ship strike overnight, sending multiple vehicles into the water, first responders, fireboats, emergency personnel, all at the scene. And I am seeing they're anticipating a press conference here before too long about this.
Yeah, and it was a boat strike, right?
It was a ship strike, yeah. And actually, Fox News right now has video of that that collapse playing. That's an incredible sight there.
It's a pretty unbelievable thing to watch a massive bridge like that just
absolutely just
suddenly
crumble.
Fall in.
Yeah. A judge dismissing a lawsuit from Elon Musk against a hate speech oversight group. Musk alleged in his case that the Center for Countering Digital Hate had illegally gathered data from X to report on the spread of hate speech and misinformation. Judge Charles Breyer ruled that lawsuit had been filed to punish the organization. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. expected to announce his running mate today. Kennedy's floated a number of people he's considering as
Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe. Wasn't Jesse Ventura on the list, too?
Oh, my God.
That's the ticket I want to see. Jesse Ventura.
Like, I'm trying to imagine what scenario he thinks he would get anything out of. Okay. Because we have had, he's still running as a Democrat, right? Is he running as an independent or as a Democrat?
No, independent.
Okay.
I thought it was an independent.
Sorry, I didn't track it all that closely. But yeah, the last time we had an actual viable people cared about an independent was what? Like Perot?
You know? That sounds right.
I mean, and independents in past years have been enough to swing elections, depending, you know, if you consider the independents' votes were available to one or the other candidates. Them not being available to those candidates, so to speak, has been enough to make the difference in elections. I don't think this one's going to fall into that category. Even not this particular candidate. Now, if somebody else runs it as an independent, like a Joe Manchin or, I mean, a Nikki Haley or, you know, a Michelle Obama, you know, not that she would run as an independent, but, you know, somebody like that, then we could have that conversation. But this one, this is a vanity project, pure and simple.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Divers are looking for up to 7 people in the water after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, hit by a container ship on its way to Sri Lanka after 2 days in port.
It would have made landing in about 22 days. Clearly, it stopped right here in the Patapsco River, striking that bridge and bringing it down really in what was an incredible collapse.
Melanie Onwick with Fox 5 DC. The bridge is a mile and a half long along Interstate 695. The Supreme Court hears arguments today about limiting access to the abortion drug mifepristone. Dr. Christina Francis is head of a pro-life doctors association.
This is about taking care of our patients. It's not about whether someone is pro-life or not pro-life.
The Food and Drug Administration approved the drug in 2000, expanding access in the years since.
It is independent. It uses science.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre. The Supreme Court first has to decide if the doctors have shown they have been harmed by having to treat patients who've taken mifepristone. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's a cloudy day, 69 degrees right now in Pensacola. Family members have now confirmed that the 3-year-old that was hit by an SUV Sunday has died. According to Channel 3, that child is identified as Levi Austin Williams.
He was enjoying his day out. He got to play on the swing set and dig in the dirt like a little boy. 1 second, he was gone. That's how quick they will take off.
That is Lisa Oliver, Levi's grandmother, and she says he was autistic. He'd crossed a fenced-in area while the family was having a crawfish boil. FHP troopers say he walked out in front of an SUV on Blue Angel Parkway. Senator Rick Scott sounding the alarm as he calls for freedom and democracy in Cuba with a new immigration crisis feared. Scott says the Biden administration needs to stop the policy of appeasing the communist regime and start holding the dictatorship accountable for human rights atrocities.
It's the same communist regime that for decades has been the root of the instability we see across Latin America. The communist Cuban regime props up other dangerous dictators like Maduro in Venezuela and Ortega in Nicaragua.
Scott says that not only threatens the region, but also the national security of the United States. People have been protesting in Cuba as the island experiences its one of its worst economic and energy emergencies, and also food shortages and blackouts. Well, more help being provided to get Americans out of Haiti. A state chartered flight carrying 14 people from South Florida arrived in Orlando last night from Port-au-Prince. The flight had 10 adults and 4 children from Miami-Dade County on board. A Central Florida lawmaker behind a new gun bill, Democrat Congressman Maxwell Frost, has introduced the Prevent Illegal Gun Resales Act. He says that would be aimed at tackling the flow of illegal guns into communities and neighborhoods. It would increase application requirements for gun retailers, also requires high-risk dealers to keep video and audio records of all firearm transactions. He says the bill would hold retailers accountable for straw purchases. That's when somebody purchases a gun for somebody else. Well, a new law giving parents a greater ability to protect their children. That's what Governor Ron DeSantis said yesterday as he signed HB 3 into law. That prohibits children under the age of 14 from having social media accounts. 14 and 15-year-olds can have accounts with their parents' permission. The law also requires adult sites to use age verification in order to prevent minors from accessing inappropriate content. The governor says social media harms children in a variety of ways. He calls this new landmark legislation. And today, the Blue Angels will take to the skies for their first practice session of the 2024 season.
We are so excited to be headed your way this 2024 show season to bring to you the world-famous Blue Angels flight demonstration.
That is Blue Angel number 7, Lieutenant Connor O'Donnell. On practice days, the Angels take to the skies at 10:30 in the morning. NAS Pensacola says visitor access at the West Gate will start at 9 a.m. Of course, that continues until 3 p.m. Any non-DOD cardholders wanting to visit Barrancas National Cemetery should enter through the front gate. 5:35, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms through the morning hours. A few storms could be strong. High today near 73 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. For Wednesday, much calmer day with a high near 78. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Staying nice for our Thursday with a high near 71 and a low near 48. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 69 in Pensacola. 68 in Gulf Breeze and 69 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We are looking at a line of storms headed our way. According to Northwest National Weather Service in Mobile, Northwest, the 425 update that they posted just about an hour ago says a line of showers and few storms continues to slowly work its way southward. That's toward us from the Mobile and South Mississippi area. The good news, they say, is the severe threat has diminished greatly. Gusty wind and some heavier rain will be possible, but overall looking like just a soggy start to the morning. But we are expecting to get this weather more around, you know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock this morning. And originally they had us in the 2 out of 5 concern zone, so that's always possibility of strong gusty winds, heavy rain, flooding, possible tornadoes, you know, not too likely in a 2, but I do always want to remind you that it's easy to dismiss the 2, but the 2 tornadoes that happened in 2016 were both in 2 out of 5 zones. So just not saying that's what happens. I'm just saying don't ignore the warning just because you think, gosh, man, it's only a 2 and the weather service says no big deal. Probably so. Probably so, but always best to be prepared. 5:39, News Radio 92.3, Saturday. Saturday, had a chance to talk to Rick Hawthorne. He's the chief of Gulf Breeze Police out at the Gulf Breeze Arts Fest at the community center instead of at the high school. Very interesting conversation, especially about how they're enforcing speeding on Three Mile Bridge.
All right, so we're out here at the Gulf Breeze Arts Fest with Chief of Police Rick Hawthorne, who is keeping security here in the new location at the community center. What do you think about this as a location compared to the high school where it's been at for years?
It's a little bit more peaceful. There's not as much traffic running by and everything. The weather, if it will cooperate, will make it a little bit nicer.
And it's been a little windy, but nice otherwise. I'll take it. One of the big news stories, of course, this week is we had a school incident at Gulf Breeze High where a gun was found out in the field house, and it turned out to belong to one of the students. We've had some developments in that case since that happened. Is that right, Chief?
That's correct. During the initial investigation, it was discovered that the mother had knowledge that the son had their gun and was carrying it with them. So we worked with the state attorney's office and were able to get charges on the mother for allowing her son to have that firearm.
Which in Florida, you're not allowed to have a minor carry a firearm because they're not allowed to have possession of a firearm unless they're under your direct supervision, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
So is this the end of the investigation in this case, or is it still ongoing?
It is still ongoing, just to make sure we catch everything.
Okay.
So that was the next big obstacle that we wanted to make sure we got taken care of. And now we'll resume with if there's any other thing that might come out of it. Right now, it doesn't appear to be,
okay.
But we are still actively looking just to make sure.
And just to make sure I got my facts right, I think Gulf Breeze News told us that the gun itself was a 14-round magazine that was loaded for a 40-caliber handgun, if I remember correctly. Does that sound right to you, Bout?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. In other things that are going on, the city council has recently put in some new rules about parking here at the at the boat launch and the park, Shoreline Park, in an effort to try to cut down on the demand on those spaces and make the turnover a little bit better and not have even commercial operations going on out of there. That's been a couple of months implemented, if I'm not mistaken. How has that been going from your perspective?
From my perspective, or the police department, it's been doing okay. They have a new park ranger that controls and watches that along with the code enforcement. And the other big thing that will probably be happening shortly is opening up some of Wayside Park down in that way. And I think once the boat ramp there gets completely fixed and everything else, that will really alleviate a lot of the problem from Shoreline.
Yeah, that's going to be a great amenity. I mean, we've always had it, but now to have a much better version and with all the parking that never was existing in the old Wayside Park, right?
That's correct. There's plenty of parking down there now for people down there. So,
how has enforcement on Three Mile Bridge been going from your perspective? I know we talk to PPD all the time, and it seems like every once in a while we kind of go to a day where we do a little bit heftier enforcement. My perspective as a citizen, I drive it at 45 to 50 in order to not get run over. You know, you can't reasonably build a bridge for 70 or 75 and then hope that people drive 45 on good nature. But what's your perspective on that, Chief?
Oh, yeah, you are exactly correct. It's a gorgeous bridge. It's a great bridge. But people are taking advantage of the size of the bridge and the extra lanes. We got a motorcycle the other day at 118 out there. We had a vehicle pass one of the patrol cars on the bridge at 122. So
Wait. Somebody went 122 passing one of your cars?
Yep. So so they're out there. We're trying to be out there as much as we can. In fact, we actually had somebody call a complaint because we were sitting in the emergency lane without lights on or anything, just sitting in the emergency lane trying to catch him, and he didn't think that we should be out there doing that. So we get it from,
how dare you be involved in enforcing the law, sir?
So we get it from all angles and everything, but we will continue to be out there. We're using unmarked vehicles and trying to catch them at different times. Just to remind, you know,
You mean if they don't see lights on top of the car, they might still not be safe from law enforcement? Is that what you're telling me? In a tactic that's what, only about 60 years old?
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is and everything. So, but we're out there. You know, we try to be out there as much as possible and trying to actually work with PPD and set up certain time frames where we're both out there working together to get some extra vehicles out there.
Now, I know it's not your jurisdiction, and feel free to beg off weighing in at all, but obviously, you know, City Gulf Breeze is famous for enforcing the speed limit in the city and for having the red light cameras at the traffic lights so as to make sure that people are discouraged from running a red light. You've had this for a long time. City of Pensacola is getting ready to do a pilot program at several intersections in the city that are high crash incident areas as a pilot to see if we can maybe cut down on that a little bit. Just as an overall picture, from your perspective, for public safety, do the red light cameras help in Gulf Breeze?
I would say yes. The people that have, you know, we have a lot of people that get more than one, you know, and they'll come in and say, I did it again. But we have a lot of people that once they get it, they pay attention when they're coming up the red lights. I think the biggest issue for us right now is we're really the only agency that has it. So, but now with Pensacola putting them up in different areas in Pensacola, more people that are local will understand it. There are people that, you know, are from other areas that have them in their jurisdictions and all that and understand to slow down and everything. So I think in the long run, it will help everybody out.
You mean that maybe, even though we won't have red light cameras at every traffic light, that maybe people will just sort of get in the habit of thinking to themselves, hey, there's a lot of red light cameras. Maybe I should just, you know, obey the red lights in general. Is that your theory? Because that's kind of crazy psychology got going there.
It is, but, you know, we can only hope. We can only hope, you know, that people will just kind of pay attention while driving.
Hey, last thing for you, Chief, is you guys recently, pardon me, I'm going to get this wrong, but you got a new home, right? The Gulf Breeze Police Department has a new facility, right?
We do, and it is fantastic. Officers are very appreciative of it. I definitely am, as long as I've been, you know, working here. And from where we were to what we are now, it's just first class.
Very cool. But still no jail in-house. You still have to go to Milton to take care of people, right?
That is correct, yeah. So that's another reminder to everybody. If, you know, you get caught here, it's a 45-minute drive in the back of a car to get to your new home.
Chief Hawthorne, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Good to talk to you, Andrew.
Always. 5:47 on News Radio 92.3, and I still think it was funny that I'm driving home from Gulf Breeze, and what do I see as I'm going 47 on the bridge, and I see a marked Gulf Breeze Police Department car on the right-hand side of the road, and I actually, when I got to a stopping point, I texted Chief. I'm like, hey, guess what I saw? Active enforcement. 5:47 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The life of every child is precious beyond measure. If you care for a child with a disability and have limited income and resources, help is available. Children with a physical or mental disability or who are blind may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. The program provides help to meet basic needs for food, clothing, or a place to live, and disability-related needs. It's money that can make a meaningful difference. If you're the parent or caregiver of a child or teenager you think may be eligible, call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn how to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. It's real help for the children. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
No man, no woman, no one left behind. For the VFW, it's a credo that stands long after our fighting days are over. Because our service never stops. We're still serving, which is why we pledge to help our own, no matter where they are or when they need us. Standing in lockstep with those who stood so courageously for everyone else. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at VFW.org.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bravo 6. Going dark.
Sean Diddy Combs is under federal scrutiny this morning after agents staged coordinated coast-to-coast raids on two of his houses. Police in tactical gear executed search warrants and addresses in both Los Angeles and Miami. Sources close to the investigation tell NBC News that the raids are part of a sex trafficking warrant being executed by Homeland Security in New York.
The speed at which it appears these raids were conducted suggests that agents were concerned that they needed to secure evidence quickly and prevent anyone from destroying evidence before they got there.
Man, when the mighty fall fast. Wow. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, we're still following this scene in Maryland right now. Rescue crews on the scene of a major disaster in Baltimore. A container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The bridge collapsed. Somebody who lives not far from that scene, her name is Kylie. She describes what happened.
My room was shaking. I sat up real fast, held onto my bed. I thought it was an earthquake happening.
And, of course, the massive collapse followed. They're kind of replaying on a loop this footage on Fox News. It's just surreal to see this bridge collapsing that way. A number of vehicles were reported to have fallen into the water, and there's been no word yet on the number of deaths or injuries. It is being treated as a mass casualty event. There's lots of first responders on the scene. Maryland Governor Wes Moore has now declared a state of emergency. I guess one bit of good news, the operators of the container ship company say the crew of that vessel was not hurt.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, I think the Fox News is, you know, saying the officials are saying that there's no indication that it was done intentionally. Of course, I think at this point in, you know, the event, that we don't have any idea what happened. It
right.
seems the most likely that something like this would have been an accident. But, you know, ships like that are, my understanding is most of those ships, you know, have pretty sophisticated systems designed to avoid problems, you know, like
yes,
this. It's not like there's a guy up on the wheel, you know. And so could it have been done? Was it an error by the crew? Was it an error by some kind of a software system? Was there something deliberate about this in terms of a hack of the system? You know, all things are on the table, right, so to speak. We don't have any evidence of anything nefarious going on, but, you know, as we've seen with our own loss of a bridge, we know how much damage can be done. And, yeah, it's amazing that, you know, basically, the ship took out this one pylon, basically, or whatever, posting, and the whole thing just came down, is what it looks like. So, unbelievable. David, thanks so much for that. What did you say was they think there's maybe as many as 7 people have died in this? Is that the number that I've heard?
Well, so far, I haven't seen any numbers.
Okay.
On at least on the information I have, but I'll let you know as soon as I find that out.
Yeah, and that bridge constructed in 1972, by the way, so 52 years old. 553 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? We have a Supreme Court case. The Supreme Court, you know, it goes for a time, and I don't mean when they're out of session. Of course, And there's not a lot of time they're out of session. Usually when you don't hear cases going on, it's because they're writing opinions. You know, they hear cases for several months and then they sort of write opinions and then you don't hear about them for several months and they start up again. But man, they have been hearing all kinds of interesting, important, significant cases over the last couple of months in just this year, let alone the ones that are still left over from last year that are not going to likely be resolved until the summer of this year. But the one today is going to be over mifepristone. This is the abortion pill, the morning after, right? The, you know, you think, you know, you got pregnant and so you take this pill to prevent, you know, to prevent the pregnancy from continuing. And what's interesting about this one particularly is that it's not about the right of a state to regulate these things. There are already 14 states that do ban it. And there are six states that have shield laws protecting it and the mailing of it to other states. That's its own separate lawsuit. It's going to be kind of interesting to see whether you can actually shield a resident of New York, for example, against sending a pill like this to, say, Alabama or Georgia. But the question is whether the FDA did wrong in the approval process of allowing mifepristone to be used so widely. And the, you know, the percentage of abortions conducted in the United States that involve this drug, I think it's up to over half. 63% of all abortions in 2023 estimated, because nobody knows for sure, estimated to involve this drug protocol. That's up 53% in 2020, from 39 in 2017. If you go back 3 years at a time, there's a very gradual curve back to when this all began in 2001. In 2000, there were none. So over the last 25 years, quarter century or so, this is now two-thirds of all abortions are done with this pill. What's particularly caught me by surprise, NBC had a good report on this morning, and they went to a doctor in New York to ask her, how many of these pills are you sending? Because women in states where it's banned and cannot go to the pharmacy to get it are simply ordering it online from a state where you know somebody is willing to send it to them.
What is the scale of this operation?
So before we had the shield law, we were mailing pills to the blue states. After we passed our shield law, the first month we sent about 4,000 pills into restricted states. And now we're up to around 10,000 pills a month.
They were sending pills into states where it was legal because the shield law hadn't been enacted out of New York. And now with the shield law having been enacted, she says that they are facilitating 10,000 abortions a month in red states where it's illegal. 100,000 pregnant, 120, but over 100,000 pregnancies a year. This one woman's operation in New York City is responsible for. That's just amazing. I don't have any words to describe that. It's 437-1620. In other news, entirely different news, you know how California raised and have been raising their cost of admission for economic activity, what you call a minimum wage? The minimum wage has been raised for restaurant workers, fast food workers, to $20 an hour. And what did all of us who believe in free market principles say would happen if you raise the cost of labor to $20 an hour? Companies are going to lay people off. Companies are going to not hire. Companies are going to, you know, reduce hours because the cost of labor is an input cost and you can only raise your prices so much before people won't buy the thing anymore. So you have to make a decision. Do you raise prices? We predicted that would happen. Do you cut employees? We predicted that would happen. So guess what's actually happening in California? They're raising prices and they're cutting labor. It goes into effect April 1st. That's not a joke. That's actually what they decided as implementation date. Pizza Hut and Round Table Pizza, Menlo Park based, chain of 400 pizza parlors, mostly on the West Coast, have said that they plan to lay off around 1,200 delivery drivers this year. They've already sent them their notices. And a lot of people are quitting even ahead of the April 1st because they need to find other jobs. But basically what they're saying is, we can't continue to afford you anymore, and so what we're going to rely on is delivery services instead, right? That's their figuring that, well, we won't pay our workers to deliver the pizza, so instead these delivery services like DoorDash, you know, or Uber Eats or somebody like that is going to pick up the difference. And a spokesman for Roundtable Pizza says, we anticipate third-party delivery providers to in turn will see a boost in their business, which will require additional staff on their end. That said, delivery for service fees may increase, and the customer will most likely see even higher prices as a result of this ongoing shift. That's the reality in today's restaurants. It'll take people longer to get their orders. The price of the order has increased about 10% to offset wages. Other popular chains like McDonald's and Chipotle have also said they will be lifting menu prices in California. Guacamole will now be the price of a new car. To pay for the minimum wage hikes the Golden State passed in September. Some fast food locations in California have raised it. It's a 25% increase from $16 to $20 an hour. Here's what's the other interesting thing. They exempted Panera Bread. Gavin Newsom, who is a close friend, apparently, of the owner and also got a lot of money from the owner, has carved out a chains that make bread and sell it as a standalone item from the minimum wage increase. Just let that sink in.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.